The first reading comes from Psalms chapter 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wanton and treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truths and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Second lesson comes from Philippians chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born of in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself, and he became obedient to the path to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. "Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In our gospel reading today, we've jumped ahead in Matthew. We skipped over Palm Sunday, and so Jesus has already entered into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey to shouts of Hosanna. And now he's teaching and healing people in the temple. And that is not well received by the religious leaders. So they confront Jesus and they ask him, "Who do you think you are? Who gave you the right to do these things?" But Jesus understands that they're not really asking. They don't really want to know. It's more like a trap. And so he answers with a trap-like question of his own about John the Baptist. And the religious leaders back away from the challenge for now. So then Jesus did what Jesus does, and he tells them a story. It's a very short story. It's about two sons. And this particular short little story, this parable, is only told in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's pretty simple as far as parables go. In fact, I'd say it's very simple. And the religious leaders have no difficulty at all answering the one question Jesus asks them about it. Which son did the will of their father? No problem. The answer is obvious. They don't even hesitate. Which son did the will of their father? Not the one who said the right thing, but the one who did the right thing. Not the one who said the right thing, but the one who did the right thing. See, for Matthew, that's what belief looks like. Not saying the right thing or making a good appearance, but actually doing the will of God. And throughout the Gospel of Matthew, it's made very clear that doing the will of God means loving everyone, even our enemies. So while the religious leaders might know Scripture inside and out and may say all the right prayers, that is not the belief that Jesus is talking about here. Instead, their refusal to be changed by God's prophet, John the Baptist, their refusal to be shaped by the life-changing ministry of Jesus, means that their faith, their belief, is nothing but lip service. After the religious leaders easily answered Jesus' question about the parable, about which child does the will of the father, Jesus then brings it a little closer to home and tells them that tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes will be made first in the kingdom of God. So those who've had all of the blame and the shame of society thrust on them, they'll be the first in line. They'll be ahead of those upstanding and righteous believers. The ones who society has made last, has pushed down to the bottom of the hierarchy, they will be lifted up to the top, valued and cared for. So what does that look like today? Who are the tax collectors and prostitutes in our society? Well, sex workers would still make the list, along with refugees and undocumented workers, transgender people, especially transgender women of color, indigenous people, people experiencing homelessness, those struggling with addiction, anyone who society treats as expendable, any group that is neglected or scapegoated or disposed of. In God's kingdom, all those who have been mistreated, all those who have been made last, are made first. In other words, in God's kingdom, the love and care that society would deny is showered on those very people in abundance. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. So what about the hypocrites, the self-righteous, those who believe that they don't really need forgiveness because they've made all of the right choices in life? Can they even hear God's words of forgiveness over their self-congratulations? Can we hear God's mercy over ours? See, it's easy to point out hypocrisy and self-righteousness in the world, right? I mean, it's abundant. You don't have to look hard at all to find it. But as Christians, we need to take responsibility for the hypocrisy right here within the church. And that also means the hypocrisy and the self-righteousness within ourselves. That's not always so easy. But whenever we are so certain that we are right, that we can no longer hear what others have to say, we become closed off from learning from others and from honoring and respecting them by listening to their voice and hearing their perspective. And that kind of self-righteousness can also close us off from hearing and receiving the gift of God's mercy. When we close our eyes to our mistakes and the ways that we might be wrong, we close ourselves off to the change that God's love can work within us. This is one of the reasons that as Lutherans we use confession and forgiveness in our worship service. It's a reminder to each and every one of us that we don't always make the right choices. We don't always love and care for others the way God calls us to. We don't forgive as we have been forgiven. Owning up to that fact, owning up to the ways that we have fallen short, it's a way of letting go of the hypocrisy that's highlighted in this parable. Acknowledging our own limitations and shortcomings frees us up from self-righteousness and hypocrisy and opens our hearts to receive God's life-changing mercy and forgiveness. Because when we honestly admit our faults and hear the good news of God's forgiveness, when we really hear it, it feels like a huge debt has suddenly been paid for you. It feels like having a gift of getting paid for a full day's work when you only worked an hour. Remember those metaphors that Jesus used? It feels like freedom, like letting go of fear and pain. Or it feels like having your parent tell you that they love you and value you for exactly who you are. That feeling, that kind of relief, that life-giving gift received, or a childhood hurt healed, that brings joy, an incredible joy, and that is the kingdom of heaven. And receiving that gift, receiving that kind of grace, it changes a person. Matthew calls it belief, but it's not an intellectual understanding, it's a changed heart, which leads not to hypocritical lip service, but to a different way of being. And that is the change that we're called to. A life of sharing God's love and forgiveness and grace that has been so abundantly poured out for us. Not as an attempt to earn God's favor or to try and make ourselves good enough, because none of us are perfect and we never will be. But see, that's just it. We are not perfect and we never will be, but God loves us anyway and always will. I felt Kelsey struggle to try and get this across because it's so hard to say it in words. That's why I kept talking about the feeling, because this amazingly good news that we've been given, when we are filled up to overflowing, it's all we can do, it's the only thing we can do, is to share it. Thanks be to God. Amen.